On this episode of Laying the Points with Farley Betts, we do a full AFC conference betting preview. We also get into part two, actually the final part of our book review on the complete book of sports betting. And we give out two free NFL picks for which week? For week two of the NFL season. And we'll explain why we think that's a very exposable market. Great show, all NFL. Let's fucking go. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on Instagram and Twitter. Check me out over there. Nonstop contributions on Instagram and Twitter. Always sharing my thoughts about my bets and sharing my content. And obviously, check out FarleyBets.com. That's where our free picks are. You can find out more information about our premium packages. We are 54% lifetime, 126 units won the past 3 years in the NBA. Over 500 picks in 3 years of NFL betting, 55.5% plus 91 units. We won fifth place in Circa 2 years ago. We're ready to win again this year. I feel so good about this NFL season. A little update on our current records. WNBA, 38-25-1 plus 20.34 units. UFC, plus 8 units. Tennis, plus 7 units. And CFL, plus 1.5 units. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. As you heard at the top of the show, we have a fantastic show for you today where we go over the AFC conference, another edition of our book review on the complete book of sports betting. And yes, indeed, we're going to give you two free picks. I gave my premium customers four picks in NFL week two this season. I got two for free for you on this pod. But you got to listen to the podcast. I'm going to sneak it in there right in the middle of my AFC conference preview. So look out for that. And before we get to the book review, this show is brought to you by Better Edge. If you haven't checked out Better Edge yet, go check it out now. It allows you to bet against your peers. There's always markets to create, markets to expose. That just means you can create your own lines. No VIG. So in other words, if you're paying like minus 110 standard, right, at one book, you're probably paying even money, maybe minus 101 at Better Edge. But the point is, the sports book doesn't have that long-term edge on you, right? It's hard to beat the VIG. At Better Edge, you don't have to worry about that. It's also a social betting marketplace. You can share articles, insights, and take part in contests and competitions as well. Go to betteredge.com/Farley. F-A-R-L-E-Y, and get a free $20 to play with right now at Better Edge. That's free money, a free $20. Why not? Go get it. BetterEdge.com/Farley. The complete book of sports betting. Now, I'm going to fly through this pretty quickly, but the reason why I wanted to offer this book review of The Complete Book of Sports Betting by Jack Moore is because, you know, guys like Spanky, I think Fezzik has talked about it, right? The big wig public facing sports bettors talk about this book as, you know, it's a foundational, really important book in sports betting. Maybe not everybody feels that way, but many of the sharps do. I was a little disappointed by it. It's a solid book. It's a really solid book if you're a beginner in sports betting. But the reality is there's not too much that it taught me, reminded me about a lot of principles that we need to keep in mind, but not too much that it taught me, if that makes sense. But let's get into the main, like the thesis of the book, which is the blindfold method. And it's called the blindfold method for a reason, right? You're not worried about what your friends are saying about the game, what analysts are saying about the sport itself. You're not even that worried about watching film and what's about to happen in these games. It's about paying attention to the numbers, the lines themselves. All right, so I'm going to go through this pretty quickly because I think it's going to make, intuitive sense to you. You got to know a little bit of math and what these things mean. But in essence, he's asking you to find the mode as far as the line goes, right? So let's just take Kansas City -6.5 week 1 against the Lions. What is the mode? So what number appears most often when you shop at sportsbooks? Probably at this point, 6.5. But let's just say it was 6.5 at 2 books, 7 at 3 books, 6 at 2 books, and 7.5 at 4 books. Then the mode would be 7.5, right? Because the mode is what is just the number that shows up the most. Then you find the greatest deviation. So if 7.5 showed up the most, which it doesn't, but just for the sake of this example, the greatest deviation would be 6, right? Because there's a 1.5 point difference between 6 and 7.5. And I said that there was a -6 at a few sports books. I think I said that, but let's just make sure that's what it is. Okay. That's a difference in 1.5 points. Right? So you find the greatest difference and you bet the side that you believe gives you the most value, right? So if you like the Kansas City Chiefs to cover that line, you would take the 6. And then what he does is he allocates units based on a principle. And I'm not going to give you the exact principle, but if the line difference or if the greatest difference is this many points, you bet 1 unit. If it's this many points, you bet 2 units, right? And he sticks to that. And long term, because you're just focusing on getting the best number, it works. And he's right. But this is something that most bettors know nowadays, or at least you should know. Shopping around for the best number, but then it levels it up a little bit, right? Because we're talking about mode, greatest difference, things like that. The book is aged a little bit, right? It says to straight up avoid Vegas books. Like, we can't exactly do that, right? The Vegas books affect all sports books now. So if Circa or Pinnacle, or maybe Caesars in Vegas, if they put out a certain line and sharps hammer it and that line moves, DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet, Lord knows Barstool, like they're going to move probably because those books moved. So every book is going to be similar to Vegas, but you still need to shop lines, still need to look around. He also emphasized at one point how, you always want to take, like if you like the favorite, you always take a 6.5, you always take a -2.5 because those are important numbers to grab because 3 and 7 are the most important key numbers. That's still very true about 3. 3 is still the most important key number in the NFL. More games end on 3 points than any other number. That was true last year as well. But 6 is more important now, right? Because of the extra point rule changes. More extra points are missed, more 2-point conversions. So, and we also know that overtime games can end on 6 points if a team scores a touchdown right away. So 6 does matter more now. It's still not as prevalent as 7, but it's just aging this book a little bit. Of course, he's emphasizing getting to the window early, extracting those lines right away, middling. Like part of the reason why I'm looking into these week 2 bets is because this book is reminding me that I need to look for middles. I need to try and find opportunities where later in the NFL season, I can buy back on the other side, right? That it's a guaranteed way to win something. And maybe you can win both sides. And I'll get to that in my 2 free picks a little bit later, but the essence, and it's really important actually, and it's a big reason why I won 5th place in Circa in 2021, is you got to select and bet on games that few others want to because of their football knowledge, right? People or whatever sport you're betting, their knowledge of the sport itself can lead them astray actually. But if you're focused on the numbers first and foremost, that's where you can extract early opportunities, middles. and just get better lines, right? Closing line value. Like an example, back in 2021 when we won Circa, Patriots and Bucks, week four. Tampa Bay was at the height of their powers, right? That's the year they won the Super Bowl. Patriots coming into that game, 1-2, 0-2 at home. Bucks at the height of their powers, man. I mean, Tom Brady was rolling, no sign of retirement, and you're getting under seven, right? So maybe even what this book would teach you, maybe you take the 6.5 on Tampa Bay, right? Mac Jones, a rookie against Tom Brady. Tom Brady's back home. But sometimes you got to take the tougher side, right? Look at numbers way ahead of time. Look at the way that they move. We took the Patriots on that day. Patriots only lost by 2. Patriots covered. But, you know, it's things like that, right? It's looking ahead. It's thinking ahead. Watching line movement. Seeing where it originates. Originating it yourself. And a big thing to think about, which this book talks about a little bit, and it's a good book. It's a really good foundational book, so I'm not trying to shit on it. I was a little disappointed because of knowledge that I already have. It's a good book, but it's a better reminder of just the proper tactics and preparation that you need to always have in mind if you want to win in sports betting. And that means things like this. When the 4 o'clock games on Sunday are over this NFL season, start looking at the next week. Start looking at the lines for the next week because they're going to come out probably around 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night Eastern Standard Time. They'll be out. And if you feel strongly about your position or your perception of a team, right? A great team facing a subpar team, maybe off a loss, they're -6.5 right away, they're at home. You probably take that 6.5 because it's probably going to move up. And then if it moves up to 7.5, 8, you can middle. And we know that 7 is a key number. But if you want to win in sports betting, either you sign up with someone like me who gives out premium picks and will tell you what to bet immediately, or just make that a habit yourself. I get it, right? The point of a premium handicap or premium picks is because nobody has time these days. Like, we all have kids, we all have jobs, sometimes multiple jobs. We're busy, interest rates are high, Lord knows. Right? So we want to rely on someone else to tell us what to do. But we can all do this. Just look at those lines as early as possible. And right now, DraftKings, man, every week, all the lines are out. Why not take a look? See if you can expose anything right now. I typically don't go beyond week 2. I think that's a little presumptuous. But I love eating up some week 2 lines. And like I said, in our free picks, we'll get to that later. Let's move on to the AFC preview. The first thing I have to mention when talking about the AFC is that it is so different than the NFC in terms of on the NFC, like when I talked about that last week, right? There's a very few teams that we know are elite. The Eagles are going to be there again. The 49ers are going to be there again. The Cowboys are going to be there again, right? Assuming there's no major injuries like Jalen Hurts goes down or Brock Purdy goes down again. Right, or Dak goes down again. Okay. I mean, obviously, mainly at quarterback, right? That's where you worry about things. Although Micah Parsons on the other end could make a claim, he would be a game changer. But on the NFC side, it's very top heavy. And in the AFC, yeah, you got the Chiefs, you got the Bengals, you got the Bills. But there are a lot of teams who you could see be really competitive this year. We're going to try and cover this as much as we can in a condensed amount of time because it's a lot of information. It's a lot of good teams. It's going to be a great year of exciting competition again in the AFC. And a lot of these teams, if they were just in an NFC division, would probably dominate. But this is what the AFC is. It's been this way, right? It's why it's the better conference. Let's start with the number one team in the AFC. How can it not be the Kansas City Chiefs? Picked up an edge from Kansas State. I really like that with high upside. I like Rashee Rice too, wide receiver from SMU. Speed, aggression, competitive player, can break tackles. But it's worth mentioning, still no alpha at wide receiver for the Chiefs. Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, definitely going to have bigger roles, right, because they lost Mecole Hardman. Lost that other guy, right, Valdez-Scantling. So Kelce, get ready for him to keep on eating. You saw it in quarterback on Netflix, right? Teams tend to try to shut down Patrick Mahomes from throwing it downfield. So it leaves a lot of those middle of the field short passes wide open, and Kelce and Mahomes' chemistry is second to none. I think that's going to continue. Kelce should keep eating this season. Maybe look at some of his props in the season again. Isaiah Pacheco, Jared McKinnon, worthwhile running backs, really contributed in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. Still got Clyde, Edwards-Helaire, back there as well. Like the signing of Drew Tranquil, who should only get better. I mean, he's on a title team now, right? He's had some up and down performances lately, but now he's on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not on the cyclic, stumbling Chargers. So, you know, they still got Frank Clark, leader there on defense. Juju's gone as well. Orlando Brown gone. Not a great thing. They signed Juwan Taylor as a tackle who's, I think he's coming from Jacksonville. He's okay. You know, we'll see what happens there. This Kansas City team, though, they can coach up some offensive linemen. But long story short, right, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're coaching, the leadership, Patrick Mahomes, best player in the NFL. Defense, we saw improvements last year, especially when they had to step up in the playoffs. They always seem to be able to do that. They have to be the number one power-rated team coming into this season. I do lean to their under and their win total, 11.5. Just because of how hard the AFC is, I'm going to lean towards a lot of unders. But regardless of their tough schedule and what they always have in front of them, a big bullseye on their back, Mahomes and this team tends to thrive in those situations. But number two is those Cincinnati Bengals. And how could they not be? Well, we see them beat the Bills. We see them beat the Chiefs. We see them beat the elites in the NFL all the time. And they only get stronger as the season goes on. Take on the personality of Joey Burrow. And I like what they did in the offseason too. Miles Murphy, defensive end from Clemson. Man, that dude, run defense, pass rush. He's going to offer a lot, I think, for the Bengals. Extremely fast, 6'5", 268, and ran a 4.53 40. Yikes. Imagine that some bitch coming at you. So he could beef up an already pretty damn good defensive line. DJ Turner as well, extremely fast cornerback. They're going to need that in a secondary that might get exposed. Right, both safeties, Von Bell and Jesse Bates, the third, gone. Trey Flowers, gone. They did draft strong safety, Jordan Battle. But he won't be starting, but he could be behind Nick Scott, a safety that they signed from the Rams. And, there's not much to like about Nick Scott. He's okay. They signed another journeyman, cornerback Sidney Jones. But this is the most important thing to recognize about the Bengals is their secondary might take time. You might want to look at early totals going over for the Bengals because, I mean, look at their offensive roster, right? They signed Orlando Brown from the Chiefs, exceptional left tackle, right? Consistently exceptional. Their combination of Jamar Chase, Higgins, Boyd, my opinion, the best wide receiver core still in the NFL. They're healthy. Joe Mixon being smart, staying with the Bengals. And I think we could be saying that Joe Burrow is right there with Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the NFL after this season. We've seen it, right, throughout history, where there's a Tom Brady, there's a Peyton Manning, right? Where there's a Dan Marino, there's a Joe Montana. Where there's a Troy Aikman, there's a Steve Young. And these two are going to keep battling. In some years, Burrow's going to win it. Other years, Patrick Mahomes is going to win it. But I think they're 1 and 2 easily, the best quarterbacks in the league. And I don't know, this Bengals team, I think they're going to be extra motivated because let's face it, they got a little snubbed after that DeMar Hamlin situation and rescheduling, not getting a chance to get a first-round bye, a shot at the number one seed. Best culture and coaching staff in the NFL, in my opinion, next to Kansas City. Just consistency, not a lot of turnover. Zach Taylor, you can say what you want about him, but he gets out of the way, I think, when he needs to get out of the way, he gets out of the way. Seems like a good guy. I mean, look at how he handled the DeMar Hamlin situation. All class. This is a good organization, increasingly really sharp organization. and an easier schedule compared to teams like the Chiefs and the Bills. I mean, they face the Chiefs, sure. They face the Vikings, San Francisco, and their division is hard, but otherwise kind of soft. Kind of soft. I think Bengals are going to be in the Super Bowl this season. I've said it before, I'll say it again. My number two power-rated team. Let's move on to the Buffalo Bills. They got to be the number three power-rated team, right? But I do think that Miami could usurp them this season. We'll talk more about Miami in a second. But they're right there. Bills number three. Miami's like 3A. So we'll get to that. But, you know, Tremaine Edwards leaving for Chicago was a big loss. But, hey, Bills had a great draft, added depth and a potential starter to their offensive line in Osiris Torrance. Dalton Kincaid is the real deal at tight end, a really good pass-catching tight end. And if he can work on his blocking, now they have dual threat in the run game, passing game with him and Dawson Knox. We'll see with Damian Harris, a running back from the Pats. I like Damian Harris. He was productive when he was featured for the Pats. But it's him. It's James Cook. You know, I mean, I still don't think it's a great running back roster. They don't have great depth there. I don't know if Damian Harris is a workhorse type of star. I mean, Rhamondre Stevenson took his place, right? So it says something there in New England. Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, and then Khalil Shakir, a lighter, speedy, younger wide receiver. We'll see what he can do, but he's going to have to step up for the Bills. I don't know if they have enough talent around Josh Allen. So I get concerned that, again, it's going to be the Josh Allen show, trying to do too much, throws an interception, all she wrote. That's the end of their season. It just doesn't feel fair to me for Josh Allen in some ways. I mean, he makes his own mistakes, but it's not a very, I don't know, you know, like Sean McDermott is not an offensive coach, right? He's going to be in charge of their defense this year. So it's just a lot on Josh. But as far as their defense goes, I know they lost Tremaine Edwards, but Von Miller coming back is going to be huge. Now they're going to have a still very talented defense is now going to have a vocal leader because they really don't have that if Von Miller isn't on the field. Few players in the NFL, guys and gals, have a higher football IQ than Von Miller. We've seen him in Super Bowls, change the game. He did it with the Rams. He did it with the Broncos. Really tough schedule for the Bills, though, obviously. AFC East is their division. Tough. They're facing the NFC East. Tough. They face the Chiefs and the Bengals as well this season. Tough. So lean to the under in their win total as well. I'm not sure how much they're going to lose because they lost Leslie Frazier, just some other thing to note, but I think Sean McDermott can handle the defense just fine. The Josh Allen question remains, how much is going to be put on him? How much surrounding talent do they really have to make it easier on him? Maybe not enough. And that's where you got to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Because I know the Tua question remains, and they also have a tough schedule, but I like that they don't face Cincy. They also don't have a Thursday night game. They have a week off after their overseas game, and they face Kansas City overseas, right? If you're going to face Kansas City, maybe it's best case scenario that you face them overseas. When both teams are a little thrown off, like weird things happen, right? Like I could see Miami blowing out Kansas City because they just show up more, right? Because it's overseas. It's weird. Great offseason for the Dolphins. Obviously picked up Jalen Ramsey on an already improving defense. Third round running back, Devon Arcane. Even more speed for their team, 4.3240. More depth to their secondary. They got Cam Smith, 51st pick behind Jalen Ramsey. Could be a starter for some teams, and he'll get to learn behind Jalen. A very formidable defensive line. All the speed and talent in the world on offense. I haven't bet it yet, but the Dolphins at plus 300 to win the AFC East. Not too bad. Not too shabby. I could see it. Something to consider, taking the Dolphins at plus 300 to win the AFC East. It's going to be a really tough division. We got to talk about the Jets, obviously. But this team is loaded. And Mike McDaniels proved that he can get things done as a coach. If Tua can stay healthy, and, you know, mind you, I did bet under 9.5 on this team. I think all the AFC East are just going to kill each other this season, tough schedules, et cetera. But this is a team that could ascend at some point this season and you know, really make their mark in the AFC, especially if they can stay healthy. Watch out for those Miami Dolphins. In this first section of top dogs in the AFC, I got the Ravens and the Jaguars as fringe top dogs. Of course, it's hard to just say that they're going to be top dogs, right? The Jaguars are still with a third-year quarterback who is really starting to surge, sure. Young talent, young team, improving defense. But there's just not much to comment on their offseason. Of course, reinstating Calvin Ridley is big. Great reports on him from practice. He is ready to go, apparently, making a difference. Their schedule is pretty favorable. They host Cincy and Kansas City. That's ideal if they're going to face those two teams. Facing their division is also pretty ideal. They got to get off the field on third downs. That was a real Achilles heel for them last year. But the Trevor Lawrence show is on. Let's see what this kid can do. Right? Second year with an adult in the room at coach. And the Jaguars could definitely make waves in the playoffs, and they should win their division. I'll comment on the Titans, though, and why they might have something to say about that. The Ravens, on the other hand, fringe elite, because not only is Lamar Jackson signed, so he has to be happy, right? They didn't give in to his full demands, but they gave him a contract that he's happy with. But now that they have Lamar, I mean, this is a playoff team, right? They got to the playoffs last year after Lamar only played 12 games. Still made the playoffs with Huntley, with an improving defense. We saw the difference that Roquan Smith made, an immediate impact, especially in the run game. I still believe they have an exceptional secondary as far as their talent goes. But there's just, you know, defensive injuries, right? They've been plagued by them now for 2 years. Played by Lamar getting injured for 2 years, 12 games in 2021, 12 games in 2022. Let's play a full season, Lamar. And I know he's trying to protect himself a little bit more. He's throwing the ball a little more. But I think it has to be a combination of what he's naturally good at and looking downfield, right? You can't just slip back into like trying to be a quarterback you're not. But I think Todd Monken from Georgia, offensive coordinator, I think he's a nice new change for this team. Should bring some more creativity. Obviously, from college to the pros, that's a different scene. But, you know, he's got a network. He has some experience. Todd Monken could be good for this team. I'm excited to see what Baltimore does as a local boy here. They're about 45 minutes away from me, those Baltimore Ravens. You know, for their sake, for my friends who are fans, I hope they do well, but they're still fringe, right? Let's see this defense really come together. Let's see the John Harbaugh-led teams of the past, more consistency and a healthy Lamar for a full season. And then maybe we're talking about the Ravens, even possibly getting past the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC North. Doesn't mean the Bengals can't go on a run in the playoffs, but that, you know, Ravens could win. The Ravens could win this division for sure. That's how talented I think they are. Okay, it's free pick time, ladies and gentlemen, and let's get to it, because week two of the NFL season, I said it on Twitter yesterday, and I mean it. I think week two is more exposable than week one when you're betting things ahead of time, right? Early betting, summer betting, as soon as these lines come out. Now, keep in mind, I believe DraftKings is the only sports book, you know, I mean, especially from your phone, right? If you don't live in Vegas, where you can bet week two NFL lines right now. You could actually bet every week of the NFL season right now on DraftKings, which is, it's a nice little offering that they provide for NFL bettors. And not a lot of other sports books are willing to do that, right? And this isn't a DraftKings podcast. But they're putting themselves out there. They're putting out lines for all season. That's a lot of exposure for them, and we're here to take advantage of it. And this is why I like betting week two early. Look at week one games, right? Unless you got extremely early line value on week one games. In other words, as soon as those lines came out, you probably don't have a lot of line value now. You probably didn't even have a lot of value back in June, right? Or like late May. Because when these lines initially came out, which I forget when that was, sometime in the spring, you got to jump on those right away, right? Because sharps, like these guys and girls, it's mostly like older men, right? Let's be honest, who are tackling those lines as soon as they come out, probably live in Vegas. They're the ones that set the lines, right? That correct those lines initially. So it gets a lot sharper. And week one, as it is, every team is motivated. Every team thinks that they got a shot to win the Super Bowl, at least go to the playoffs, improve on previous performance. So there's no, you know, down feelings or thoughts heading into week one. Everybody's high on themselves. And that usually breeds really competitive games. There's a lot of divisional games in week one right now, at least this season. But many of the previous recent seasons, we're seeing a lot more divisional games. Those are really tough games to pick, obviously, right? Like you got the Bengals and the Browns in week one. The Browns took the Bengals to the woodshed in the middle of last season. I think that was Monday Night Football. And we know Joe Burrow starts slow, right? So like, even though Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they're my pick to win the Super Bowl this season, that's a tough game to pick, right? It's why it's -2.5 Bengals on the road. Not easy. But week two presents a very clear and obvious angle, right? Are good teams who might have lost or at least had a tough week one are due to respond in week two, right? It's the week where we often talk about overreactions, because after week one, everyone's like, oh my God, this team is great. Oh my God, that team sucks. Look at that player. He's going to really bust out this year, get a 2,000 yards. Yeah, there's just a lot of opinions that immediately come out of week one. And if you can forecast what some of those opinions could be, you're going to get early line value on week two in the NFL. Let me explain. Let me give you two examples here, two free picks in the NFL for week two. First of all, capitalizing off of that Bengals and Browns game. Like I said, the Bengals, we've seen them, right? Previous seasons, look what they did against the Steelers. I think that was last year, right? Burrow throws a bunch of interceptions. Maybe that was the season before. Everything is running together. But the point is, Bengals, Joe Burrow, they can start off slow, right? We've seen that story before. And they're on the road against the team in the Browns who they reloaded. They had a good offseason. We're going to talk more about them later on this pod, but they had a pretty good offseason. Reloaded offensive line. And Deshaun Watson, oh, by the way, is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, according to many. If we remember before all the allegations, right? He was considered to be a top five quarterback by many analysts. Now, of course, after everything that I'm not going to say he's been through, right? He sounds like he put a lot of other ladies through things. But, you know, controversy, everything mentally weighing on him, it was predictable that he wasn't going to be at his best starting for the Browns immediately last season. With a full offseason, though, time to vibe with this team, up their team chemistry, I think the Browns are going to be really feisty in week one. Probably make a really good teaser leg, right? Boost that up 6 points to 8.5 at home. But the point is, the Bengals, I don't think that's going to be an easy game for them. So perception on the Bengals might wane after the Sunday's game, right? At Sunday night, you might be saying to yourself, damn, maybe the Bengals are going to be kind of average this year. I guess we'll see. What about the Ravens? The Ravens are facing the Houston Texans. They are the biggest favorite of the week, -9.5 at home. It is very likely that the Baltimore Ravens win that game handily against the Texans. So what is that going to do, ladies and gents? Perception on the Bengals probably going to go down. Perception on the Ravens probably going to go up. And right now on DraftKings, you can get Ravens +3.5. That means we're getting the hook in a divisional game between the Ravens and Bengals, probably the 1 and 2 number one and number two ranked teams in the AFC North. We're not going to get that hook after week one, in my opinion. So I'm taking the Ravens plus 3.5 now, and maybe we can middle. Maybe that's Ravens plus 2, plus 3 even, plus 1.5. Who knows? In week two, but I don't think that line's going up after week one. So we're taking Ravens plus 3.5 right now. And here's another one. Oh, Chris, you're being a homer, Chris. You're being a homer with this pick. No, I'm not. I know the New York football Giants, my Giants, are not an elite team. I know that. I don't think Daniel Jones is the guy. We'll see what happens with Saquon. You know, I think he might play even harder this year after not being given that contract, franchise tagged. But we'll see what happens with him, right? Not a ton of talent on offense. But what did we see from this Giants team last year? Beating teams they should beat, consistency, the best ATS team in the NFL, and really, really good coaching, right? And a defense that's growing before our eyes. Their defensive line could be top five by the end of this season. Now, the Giants are minus 4 right now, week 2 at Arizona. I've been wrong about things before. But these Arizona Cardinals, in my opinion, are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. You talk about lacking depth. They might not have a real quarterback starting in week 2. I don't think Kyler Murray is going to be ready yet. I mean, just look at their quarterback room. I can't even say it without throwing up. The Cardinals are going to be a really bad team. And who do the Giants face in week 1? The Dallas Cowboys at home. And even though I would love to see my Giants win, and even if they did win, that would just mean more momentum heading into week 2, really. I don't think that makes this a bad bet. But if the Giants lose, and it was probably going to be a close game in week 1 against the Cowboys, but a loss is what I would anticipate. They are underdogs at home. Then the Giants are not going to just be minus 4 in week 2 against a Cardinals team that is going to be very obvious right away because of their porous, shallow roster on defense and just their lack of depth on both offensive and defensive line at the talent positions. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be able to keep up with most teams. This is going to create a more motivated Giants team heading to Arizona, probably off a loss. I think this line goes up. I would love it if it became like Giants minus 7 or minus 6.5. Then we could middle on the Cardinals, maybe with some pride, right? Playing at home. Sure. And then maybe we win both ways. We're taking Giants minus 4 right now, anticipating that that line is going to rise by week 2. And when I say by week 2, I mean as soon as those week 1 games are over. Like I said before, right? Make sure you're looking at NFL lines late in the day on Sunday at the latest, probably after the 4 o'clock games. A lot of these lines at every book are going to be coming out on the next week of NFL action, and you want to grab early lines, get that early line value and ability to middle, right? That's always what you're looking for with these early bets. Ravens plus 3.5, Giants minus 4. Let's move on to the teams to watch out for in the AFC this season. This is a longer show, so I'm going to go in a little bit of speed mode here to talk about the rest of these teams in the AFC, because like you're seeing, right, it's tough to get through because the AFC is so damn loaded. I mean, it's freaking stacked with talented teams. I love what the Steelers did. Another AFC North team that I like. Excellent draft. I mean, Broderick Jones, offensive tackle in round 1 from Georgia. He's going to be good. Joey Porter Jr., you got to love that. Cornerback, athleticism, has a history there, and his dad with the team. Signed a blocking tight end in the 3rd round to really expand their run blocking options. Signed Allen Robinson in the offseason. Got left guard Isaac Samalo from the Eagles. Very solid left guard for Pickett. And this defense, with those additions, with Patrick Peterson, Minkah Fitzpatrick, a fierce D-line. I think T.J. Watt could win Defensive Player of the Year this season. Again, just stay healthy, T.J., and I think he wins it. I mean, that guy, next to Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt changes the way his defense plays when he's in. because everybody can just kind of settle into what they do and watch him just brilliantly stack sacks and, you know, get into the backfield, right? He's a game wrecker and he's a leader on the field. So if he stays healthy, I like what I saw from Pickett. Really like what I mean, he made some, Kenny Pickett made some throws last season in clutch situations, close games that not a lot of quarterbacks could make talent wise and not a lot of quarterbacks can make moxie wise. The kid has balls. I would not be surprised if the Steelers went into the playoffs as well. If we get two or three teams from the AFC North in the playoffs. I actually like the AFC North to get more teams into the playoffs than the AFC East. And everyone's talking about the AFC East. But I do. Steelers have a softer schedule than most of their divisional rivals and conference rivals as well. Jets. J-E-T-S. We'll see. Because we just have to comment on, we know Saleh didn't want to have Hard Knocks. Like, right, he didn't want to have cameras all over his team with all this hype. That's what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table. You want Aaron Rodgers, that's what's going to happen. A lot of eyes, a lot of cameras, a lot of potential controversy, probably some biting words from Aaron at some point during the season. It's not just pure talent and nothing else that you're bringing onto this team. Kind of a diva. And he's kind of conservative with how he throws the football. Now, arm talent-wise, one of the best to ever do it. I don't think anyone would argue that. And I think he's going to change the trajectory of who the Jets can be. I mean, this is a Jets defense that single-handedly kept their team in games and won games last year for a Jets team that basically didn't have a formidable quarterback, right? Now they got A-Rod, all the experience in the world. Bright lights. He's in a big market. Seems like he's enjoying himself all offseason. They did some pretty good things in the offseason. You could look into that themselves, yourself. I got to move on. But, man, they're definitely a team to watch out for. I'm not going to put them in the upper echelon just yet. That's a little presumptuous, I would say. The Browns, another team in this AFC North that I think is just absolutely stacked. Free agency brought in interior help and Dalvin Tomlinson, another edge rusher in, man, I'm going to butcher this name, Okoronkwo, and then a trade for Za'Darius Smith. As PFF noted, they added 146 pressures to their defensive line from last year just through those three additions. And you still have Myles Garrett. I like what they did in the draft, reinforced nose tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver Cedric Tillman is probably going to be contributing to a receiving core that is still being built, right? But they got Elijah Moore as well. He could be a game breaker. We've seen that before. And Deshaun Watson, man, is Deshaun Watson potentially a top five quarterback in the NFL again? Absolutely. He has all the talent, athletically and arm talent, and he was doing it on a Houston Texans team that wasn't going very far. He could do it for a better offensive line and more talented Browns team. The Titans. Let's not just assume that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win the AFC South. The Titans, they find a way, man, and I like that DeAndre Hopkins signed with the Titans. He fits their culture. You know, D-Hop is not one of these diva wide receivers. He's a workhorse. He can catch anything. I know he's coming off an injury, but that has to give Ryan Tannehill a little security blanket there. Schedule is favorable, of course, being in that division. It's not a smart move to sleep on Tennessee. They're an ATS machine year after year, just a winning record. Team to watch out for. The Chargers, the question, and there's more questions than answers always with the Chargers. Is Kellen Moore going to make a big enough difference to enhance this offense? I don't know that yet. And I don't think he was as creative as he thought he was for Dallas. But if this team, big if they can create a more dynamic and unpredictable offense and a consistent defense, they certainly have the talent, then this is an elite team, period. We see how they play the Chiefs really hard, really close. They're not afraid of the Chiefs. Justin Herbert played with injured ribs all last season. Well, for most of last season. Still put up great numbers, still made great passes, still led his team to many late game situations for them to win before his coach and others screwed it up. Brandon Staley, get the hell out of the way. Chargers, fringe playoff team. The Broncos, you got to mention them as a team to look out for because of the Sean Payton effect. Javonte Williams hopefully comes back fully healthy after that ACL tear because he was ready to have a big year last season. You know, this is a team, you know, I know Russell Wilson, we all made fun of him and we probably should. I mean, he's weird as fuck. But this team was very injured last year, right? Justin Simmons, even though he only played 12 games, tied for 6 interceptions, he was ready to explode and still kind of did. But, you know, now he's fully healthy. Still a very solid defense. They're very solid on third down last year, 2nd in the NFL overall on third down percentage or completion percentage allowed. I like that they reloaded their offensive line, right? Sean Payton, a run-first type of guy. They're going to be feistier. How feisty, we'll see. You got to add New England to the mix as we go to the towards the bottom of our power ratings, but still a team to consider. They did lose Jacoby Myers to the Raiders, but replaced him with Juju. They got Mike Gesicki, right, so they can kind of run those two sets with Hunter Henry at tight end. James Robinson, extra depth at running back, some offensive line depth they added. You know, an okay draft, I think. I mean, cornerback Christian Gonzalez should make a pretty instant impact there. He's a really solid player. Defensive lineman Keon White, another guy to note, and an already really good defense. I mean, a top 10 defense in all the categories that matter last season. Also a team that kept their team in, or a unit that kept their team in the game. And a lot of people, for some reason, right, they think that this is the year that Mac Jones is going to suddenly look better, play better. I think he was fine last year. Right, they just don't have great talent around them. They don't have great scheming because of their coaching situation that they're not changing. I have a feeling that this could be maybe the last year that we see Bill Belichick as a coach. At this point, it's going to start getting kind of embarrassing, right? Without Tom Brady, if he can't win. I mean, look at his win percentage. Not getting to the playoffs. There is a world where maybe him and the old owner have a little talk and maybe they nicely end it, right? Because just not getting done without Tom. They're going to need a lot more from their offense to keep up with the defenses and competition in the AFC East. I don't see it. I see a last place Patriots team, but gotta just put an asterisk next to them because it feels like they're always up to something. And Bill Belichick now is kind of failing cyclically. Over and over again, a few seasons in a row. So you got to figure he's got something in his back pocket, right? The Texans, I don't believe in CJ Stroud. I think he's going to be a bust. And just a lot of developing players. They're still probably a few years out from being competitive. Colts, Anthony Richardson, I think he'll need a lot of development. But I mean, all the talent is there, right? The arm strength, the running ability, just how big he is, kind of a Cam Newton like stature. And they have a better roster than other teams in the, you know, AFC, like to get by, right? And to still win some games. You know, week two, maybe look at them against the Texans, might be getting underrated there a little bit. But a team that's going to struggle. And the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know. I know Josh McDaniels is trying to build a culture. Obviously, he was with Jimmy G, added Jacoby Myers, a lot of Patriots guys. The coaching staff is very eclectic, young. You know, guys from the Patriots are just like kind of flyers on the wall? Flies in the whatever. He's trying to be innovative, I think. I don't think Josh McDaniels is a very good coach. And I think we saw the symptoms of that last season when the Raiders just didn't show up. You know, and I don't like that for Jimmy G being on the Raiders now, as kind of being the you know, a professional for their offense that hopefully doesn't get into arguments with Josh McDaniels, who Josh McDaniels just strikes me as somebody who thinks he's smarter than he is, you know, thinks he has a handle of how to lead men more than he does. I don't know if he's very good at it. Just doesn't feel like a guy who you're going to, you know, 270-pound linebackers are going to run to the sideline and be like, yes, sir, you got it, Mr. McDaniels. Like, you know, he just doesn't carry that charisma. I think he's perfect as an offensive coordinator for a good leader. But as a coach, that's a different story, guys. Like, we see that all the time, right? Texans, Colts, Raiders, outside looking in. Patriots, Broncos, Chargers, Titans, Browns, Jets, and Steelers. Watch out for, and then we already talked about the top dogs. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We'll be back again next week. And I would be remiss to not mention, starting week one or after week one of the NFL season, we will have podcasts on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with some fantastic guests, the sharpest minds in NFL betting. And I will be going over early line evaluation and my early leans on Monday, totals and teasers on Tuesday, and the full NFL slate every Wednesday. We're going to be offering more for you to digest and to get sharper in your NFL betting as we try to win circa again. We try to pile up our bankroll and our money. Let's fucking go, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Farley Betts, we out of here.